You're here. It's good to be in God's house. I want you to turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to continue on this series I started on worship. I mean, as we need to worship our King, there's nothing like spending time with Him. Worship is different than praise. Worship brings an intimacy that it's like considered a kiss, as it were, to the Lord. Now, it's one thing I can praise my wife, and she is awesome. But how many knows every now and then she needs a kiss? And since I'm a great kisser, she really likes it. How many knows that there's intimacy there, yes or no? We need that also with our God. That when we're intimate with the Lord, it's harder to backslide. Come on. When you have that close relationship, you're not looking for other relationships. How many of us, we need that? We need that more than ever today. There are so many things that are pulling for our attention. Just living on this planet will make you dirty. How many of us, we need the washing of the Word and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. That's all of us in here. All of us in here who have heard too much and seen too much. Say amen. How many knows I need to be a little more naive towards evil and a whole lot more towards good? It seems to me like every generation just has new ways to invent old evil. Come on. But the church needs to arise and shine. Somebody asked me today what it's like to be a pastor today. It's like navigating through treacherous waters. There's rocks on each side, but if we keep close to where the buoys are, that are indicating a straight line will make it. Say amen. And how many knows we need a lighthouse to shore where that area is to illuminate? Say amen. God will help us through this time. He's helped every generation through. The Lord didn't want you born 2,000 years ago. He wanted you born now because you're the ones that can handle it. So the truth is God's going to bring us through. But we're not going to limp out in these last days. The church is just not going to escape by and hope we make it into sweet by and by. No, we're going to leave this earth with power and authority. What I read in Scripture is the Bible says this, that greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. I believe personally God's starting to pull all the little pins out that we start to now be dedicated towards Him. Come on. How many of us, we need to be looking for Jesus' return? He said, when you see all these signs, look up, your redemption's draw near. And when I read in Scripture, many will be caught unaware because they're not looking for His return. Even when it comes to those who have an idea about Christianity, when it came to the 10 virgins, 5 were wise and 5 were what? Because they didn't take any Holy Spirit with them. Say amen. How many of us, when we get into Scripture, God wants us to worship Him acceptable. How many really want to know how to worship Him? I do. Since we're going to be there forever, how many of us, God gives us indicators in Scripture? Now, we know God is loving. We all agree. True? But He's also just. And in Scripture, He is clear about worship with the wrong attitude. Do you know that's an affront to Him? That we have the wrong attitude, but we have an area of worship. Jesus dealt with the Pharisees. He says, listen, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is far from me. How many of us, we can say a whole lot of things, but when our heart is for Him and our lips are speaking that, there's power there. But it's easy to sing unto God. It's another thing to have intimacy with it. Say amen. When I work with young people, I had this young person says, Pastor, we don't tell lies, we sing them. I said, what do you mean? He goes, I surrender all. No, we don't. All to Thee, Lord Jesus. No, we don't. How many of you had a word? Listen, we need to sing what we believe and mean what we sing. When it comes to worship in Luke, you there? In chapter 10, verse 27. So he answered, you shall love the Lord your God with what? Somebody say, all your heart. With all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind. And when it comes to other people, your neighbor as yourself. Notice the acceptable worship is all out for him. If you boil it down across the board, there'll be a lot of people today worshiping God. That's awesome. Have we done it with all our might, all our strength, all our might, everything we got? That's how we have to prepare ourselves when we come together. When our worship team worship, that's great. We need to join in with an all. Their job is not to kickstart our worship. How many of us, we need to come in worshipers? Oh, I'm preaching now. Listen, if the power went out, everything quit, we could still love on him. Does it have to be predicated on somebody playing or something? How many of us, we can do that? And we've had several times. I think last week, didn't the power snap during this time and shook everybody up? The truth is that we never know how long we have. But when I give it my all, it's my best. It's like, you know what? How many times have I ever felt like, well, I don't feel like going today. I'm not feeling well. And the bed feels so good and I'm tired. And you kind of succumb to your feelings instead of what you should have done. Okay, nobody in here. How many ever pushed through and found out that to be the greatest time ever? I've had it many times like that. I didn't feel like it. It's like, man, I don't want to do this. I'm tired of this. But boom, here you go. The greatest time ever. When you start to realize, in heaven, I don't have a problem at all. Everybody giving it their all. Not a bit. But what about here when you still have flesh? When you still have other things to think about, other battles to have, a body that can fatigue easy. Do we still give it our all? See, I don't have a problem when God, you have a new body like in under Christ. You never get tired, you never this. But what about now? Can we give it our all now? Can you imagine Jesus going to a cross, yet he still gave it all? When I picture Jesus, I realize how much pain he went through. You know, if you read scripture real close, every time he went out, somebody tried to catch him at his words. They tried to put this out. They put answers out there. They put questions out there. They try to say this, but each time he knew, because he knew what was in the heart of man. And every time he answered truthfully. But can you imagine Jesus saying, you vipers, you hypocrites. Does that sound like Jesus preaching to you? See, that's what he said. He says, your lips honor me, but your heart is far from me. He wasn't trying to be mean. He was calling out that attitude. Because all of us have been hypocrites, but yet God still saved us. Say amen? All of us have been liars, yet God still saved us. He wasn't trying to condemn them to the place of not receiving. He was calling out that attitude. When it comes together as a church, our attitude needs to be all out for him. Doesn't it say all in these verses? It's time to give our best and not our leftovers. Oh, it's awful quiet in here. In Proverbs 3, verse 9, honor the Lord with your possessions, with your first fruits of your increase. Notice that when we honor him, God works in those situations. And I've seen in Scripture where David said, you know what? Here's some blemished lambs. They're not really great. Maybe the leg's short. Maybe they got some spots. Maybe they got some this. And there's the best of my flock. I'm going to offer that. I mean, we need to offer what's best. It's easy to offer the leftovers because it doesn't cost very much. But I want you to ask this. Has the Lord given you his best? Has he given you his best every time? Then when we look at it, if our heart is set on him, I don't want to give second best. Amen? My wife and I do this as the pastors, not to lift ourselves up. We try to give our best every single week. Across the board. I'm not trying to say this, oh, you're so great. No, that's where our heart is. I don't look for praise for it. I don't say, well, I'm glad for that. No, we want to because you deserve the best. And how much more our King, the King of Kings? When it comes to those areas, we have to look and say, are we at all in reverence? When we focus on him and our heart is filled with him, you know what? We have what we ask. If you're taking notes, in Psalm 138, verse 2, I will worship towards your holy temple. I will praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth. Be magnified, your words above your own name. When I look at true worship, it represents, hey, what is acceptable? All out for God. If you don't have a good voice like me, then make a joyful noise. Some people can sing unbelievable. That's awesome. Some people can play. I marvel at people who can play an instrument. I've tried. I played the trombone for a couple years. I could get where the slide was, but I was never that good. The only time I made first chair is when everybody else wasn't there. That's just the truth. I practiced, I did this. I just couldn't. It's just like, oh, man. And I was worse at the viola. When I was in grade school, they had an instrument you could play. Anybody know what I'm talking about? First time I put my chin on that mouth guard, it hurt big time, so I stuck a big pad there. I was terrible at it. Even a teacher went, this may not be for you. I would be that one like, you ever had people just stop playing? That's what it was like when I played the instrument. I knew instantly and young, that's not for you, get out of here, all right? The teacher passed me because we had a short time, we had to take some music. The teacher just was gracious and passed me. At the class, I said, you passed me? He goes, yeah. And she chuckled and goes, I really don't want you back here. I'm like, oh, I didn't take offense to it. I go, I know, I just can't do it. I'm just terrible at it. Well, I mean, each has its own gifting. But I've learned that even with a voice that isn't that great, he receives it. It's like a sweet sound in his ear. I mean, it matters from the heart. He sees those areas. Can you imagine a church that just loves the Lord their God? Right here. I'm not going to imagine it. I'm going to walk in it. Come on. How many of us, we can all do that. Look how they love him. Look how they worship him. That makes a difference in today's society. That's more than just playing a few tunes and going out and doing your own thing. Amen. We have to worship with an acceptable heart. Now, how many ever came in and you had a little battle going on? Okay, you couples. How many of you couples ever came in and things weren't exactly 100%? Okay, be honest. How many of us that can happen? He goes up and worships and she's like, can't believe you're worshiping. If the pastor knew what was going on, he'd tell you to sit down, all right? How many of us, we can have some of those things going on? Sometimes we can block it out. I understand life, truly. But I've learned this. As much as that's within you, when you come in the house, you may not have everything lined up perfect. Get some peace going. Make a little mini altar and say, you know what? We'll pick this up after because this is his time. How many of us, that's good counsel. When it comes to acceptable worship, you're taking notes. In Malachi 1 verse 7, it says this about when your attitude is wrong. You offer defiled food before my altar. And you say, how I have defiled it. The table of the Lord, I marvel at this scripture. It's so convicting. The table of the Lord is contemptible. You offer a blind sacrifice. Is it not evil? You offer the lame, the sick. Is it not evil? Offer it to your governor. See if he's pleased with you. See if he accepts it favorably. Says the Lord of hosts. I mean, I said, are you going to offer something terrible to the king? Offer it to your president. Offer it to your governor. Offer it to your family to see if that's acceptable. See if they go, praise the Lord. How many of us, we got to look at our God and say, Lord, I'm going to offer you my best. If all your best is 2 copper coins, then it's not the amount value. It's what's precious in you. Come on. You know, every day, when I get out of my car, I find money on the ground. Because somehow all our money is defiled. No one wants to touch it. So you know what? I'll put it in the building fund. Say amen. Well, I don't want to pick that up. Somebody else has touched that. Okay, I'll touch that. Put it in there. But am I going to offer something canker to God? Something dirty, something terrible? Here, Lord, this is for you. God says, see if your important people will receive it. When it comes to Amos, in Amos chapter 5, verses 21 through 24, he gave insight concerning this.
that God despises it when our heart isn't right. In Amos 5, verse 21, I despise your feast, your sacred sacrifices, your burnt offerings. I will not accept them. I mean, this is pretty serious stuff. Take away the noise of your songs, the melody of your string instruments, but let justice run like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. When your heart is not right, it's not acceptable. Come on, we need to change that. Now, I'm not talking about God bringing conviction there, but how many people sing unto God and don't even know Him? That think by doing this, it makes you right. I've seen people do incredible things to try to work out salvation when all they got to do is accept what God has. Sometimes people will go to great lengths while doing this for the Lord. Did God even ask you to do that? Well, I feel better. Great. Are you still changed? Is the change happening in you? Jesus paid the price so you don't have to work for your salvation. But once you get saved, your works follow you. How many of us, there's a big difference there? But unacceptable. How many times have people came to service? I don't care. Yeah, I hope this is about over. Come on. No, Lord, this is your time. That isn't acceptable. He called Amos out and said, look, your feast, your songs, all that, you honor me with your lips, but your heart is way far from me. Your love towards me, you say that I'm Lord. Oh, hear this. Many will say, Lord, Lord, didn't I do this in your name? And then what does he say? Depart from me, I never knew you. What a sad indictment. Can you imagine going to church, thinking you're right with God, and then God himself saying, I never knew you. The fact of the matter is, you never knew me. You may have facts and figures, but we were never intimate. And there are some people that know a lot about a lot of people. I'm serious. There are some people that know every stat, every figure, what they've done, what movie they've been in, what thing they've done. How much do you know about your God? We need to prepare and meet our God. When it comes to worship, it's not the amount of songs either. It's your heart. Do you know him? For what's unacceptable is a stench to him. I know that's hard preaching, but we need to hear it. Say amen. If you're taking notes, Hosea 6, verses 4 through 6. Isaiah 1, 11 through 15. All these deal with sacrifices. They deal with your burnt offerings. And they also deal with, listen to me, if you don't have mercy and grace, come on, where are you at? When it comes to Jesus, he looks at all these festivals. They're nice, but I'd rather have your heart. Which is better, sacrifice or obedience? Obedience is better than what? But once you're obedient, then your sacrifice kicks in. How many times has worship went up and been unacceptable or had no change? Miracles should happen during worship. It should happen. There shouldn't be a lull in the service when those arenas. No, God, what do you need? How many knows that if you're in his presence, it changes things? The church, again, needs to get into God's presence. Doesn't it say in his presence is that a truth? Then you get in there till you're full of joy. Get in there till you what you need. I've had three times in my life, I've been saved for I don't know how many years now, three times in my life that I've been in the presence of the Lord that he's asked me, what do you want me to do for you? And there's so many things that have filled my mind. There are so many things I could have spoke. Honestly, I almost spoke one time a request because I knew God would have answered it. And then you know what? The Holy Spirit worked in me. What do I really want? I want to know him. And that's what I ask, that I may know you. And here's what he spoke in my spirit. I will grant that to you. How many of those answered prayer brings joy? Come on, we have to have acceptable worship. We have to have that time where, Lord, it's me and you. Everything else can wait. Amen? If I got to turn that off and leave it in the other room, fine.
Get back to it when you have to. Distractions are all about, because we can do this. Who's got their phone on them? Figures heathen. Lord, I love you. Ding, ling, ling. Hold on. Oh, that's a pretty picture of Dawn. How many of us, we can do this? Yes or no? Lord, I love you. Hello? Ron? Yeah, I know Ron. He owes you money? I will talk to him later about that. How many of us, we can be interrupted? We all have to, Lord, I'm going to, no, no interruptions. It's part of my all. Thank you, Ron. It's part of my all. If I have all, then there's nothing left. And it shouldn't be when I have the least strength either. When are you the strongest? That's where you got to be with your God. Because if it's just leftovers, how many of us, that doesn't work. Now, some people like leftover food. To me, I call it used food, all right? It's used food. My wife doesn't mind it. I'm not a real fan of it, even though there are times that it's there, we made a whole lot of it. It's used food. It was kind of that way when I was growing up. My mom, all our family's from Germany, and my mom didn't know how to cook small amounts. Gosh, she didn't. She'd make a vat of sauerkraut. I remember those big tubs, those silver basin tubs. She would make that much of sauerkraut. Oh my gosh. I hated sauerkraut. Oh, I hated it with a passion. Some people love it. Oh, man, I could smell it when I walked in the door. Oh, no, Mom, please, no. In my family, you had to eat what was on the plate. Does anybody remember those times? You ate what was on the plate. Well, I got pretty crafty after a while. I'd watch the family. I'd watch every one of them because my brother and sister would rat me out. And I'd take it, and I'd scoop it, and I'd line the backside of my plate up. And I had it perfect. You couldn't see it all the way around. And I'd be the last one to leave the table. They'd all leave. I'd pull my plate out, right in the garbage. Until one day, my dad goes, "Why? It seems like you're always running around doing everything, but you're the last to leave the table." And he's standing there. He goes, "Well, then you just clean the rest of the table up." I'm like, "Oh, no. I'm going to be busted." And as soon as I left the plate, all that sauerkraut was right there. You know what he made me do? He made me sit down and eat it. Anybody have a family like that? Oh, you had perfect families. I'm like, "No, I don't want to eat." "No, you're going to eat that like the rest." And my brother and sister are like, they were no help. Who had brothers and sisters knocked you out? Man, I did. I couldn't get away with nothing. Who was like me? Who broke things? Okay, I'm not like company. When it comes to worship, we need to have it as God intended. Most people understand worship just being a song, a ritual, or a performance, an activity. But true worship is intended from the heart. It's intended to speak who you are in Him. Lord, I love you. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for working in me. Thank you, Lord God. And now my attention and my focus is on you. It grows in relationship. That's why we can't fake our love. It doesn't instantly pop there. It's a growing process. When I got saved, the preacher said, "You got to love God." I didn't know how. You know what I said? I said this to God: "I like you." And I heard him echo in my spirit, "But I love you." And I chuckled. I did. It's like I heard his voice, "Well, I love you." And soon down the road, I could say, "Lord, I love you too." That's how my relationship started with God. It started off as an infant, and then it grows. Too many times we think that just because we have age, we're growing that much maturity spiritually. It's not that reality. You may be good at managing flesh, but do you really know your God? Can't fake that with Him. You can't lie your way through it. You can't just wish, "I think I am." No, you got to know. That's why it comes in the volume of the book. Grow in your relationship. Amen. I mean, it's the greatest times you'll have is you and God alone. And what you do in secret, God will reward you openly. And I know this for a fact. If you're loving God outside of here, you'll be sloshing, filled with the Spirit, making a mess everywhere you go. Say amen. How many knows that oil will get on everything? How many knows that's what we need today? Christians are dry. How many knows you have what they need? Slash some oil on them. Give them something they need. How come we're so afraid of offending too? Not that I want to be offenseful, but how many knows speak the truth in love? And let that work. They get mad at you, they'll come back around if they want to know the truth. Nope, can't talk about sin. It's going to make somebody upset. Won't come back. Well, they'll just find some other reason why they won't come back. Are you enjoying this morning? Boy, that's good preaching today. I'm so glad I came to church. Listen, most people have a lack of understanding. We need to have it. Simple worship is this. Honor, adoration, directed towards God. In Psalm 132, verse 7, let us go into his tabernacle, let us worship at his footstool. Psalm 29, verse 2, give to the Lord glory due to his name, worship him in the beauty of holiness. In Psalm 45, verse 11, so the king will greatly desire your beauty because he is your Lord. Worship him. Hallelujah. That Hebrew word for worship is this. It overflows. It's a boil over. Righteousness and love come out. It's like figuratively. It reaches the boiling point that you can't do it anymore. It like takes it to that place where, oh, this is so great. Now remember when Jesus was transfigured? His disciples said, Lord, we don't know what to do here. Should we make a tabernacle for you, for Elijah? They're kind of freaked out, which I'd probably be too. I mean, think if Jesus' face shone like the sun, you'd be like, dude, I just saw you a little while ago. You didn't look like that. But after he rose from the dead, he's walking with two on the road to Emmaus. They fully didn't understand who he is, but they said, didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us? We need that burning passion for him. Man, you can't snuff that out. The world can't take that away. When you have a burning passion for your God, you can go through anything. It doesn't matter what's going on in the world today. I want that as the church. I'm more radical than I was years ago. I'm in a revival. I'm not waiting for one. Come on, stoke up that fire within us. Start to look in those areas. When it comes to the New Testament, the words in Greek are like this. It means to kiss. It means to kiss towards, to kiss the hand or bow down. That's what the Greek word means. It signifies humble adoration. Another Greek word is this, to pay honor, to pay respect, to pay reverence solely to God. Our English word is this, you are worthy or worthiness. When it comes to areas of worship, we need to have an outward demonstration. That means, you know what? I got hands to lift. Here we go. Come on. Singing in a group, a setting like this, outward demonstration. Nothing wrong with it. Well, all my worship is private. What happens when you get to heaven? You're going to go in some corner somewhere? Do you think heaven's just going to bow down to you and you get your own little room to worship? I don't see that in Scripture. We all gather around the throne. Say amen. Sometimes it's like we want to have it our own little ways. Well, it's a personal thing. Well, it is, but it shows out publicly. I mean, we need to bring forth that publicly. It's okay to let people know you worship God. It's okay to be a little undignified sometimes. Amen? I remember one time I was just loving on God, and I pulled in this parking lot, put my car in park, and Lord, I just love, thank you, Lord. You're so awesome in my, and I kind of was oblivious to what's going on. And when I opened my eyes, there was somebody with the car next to me like this. They were looking in the car. What's this guy doing? Amen? For a minute there, I was kind of startled, but I'm like, oh, it doesn't matter what that person thinks. Amen? When I shut these, the rest is irrelevant. I'm no more spiritual doing this or this. But what it does is it blocks out this natural stuff that I can focus in on Him. That's why I shut my eyes. Only reason. But it's an outward, and I'm going to close here. I got so much more to cover. Are you enjoying this series? We have to start now. And I'm going to encourage you, in your own private setting, start to love on Him. Men, start to love on your God. For the most part, ladies have led the way when it comes to spiritual things. We need to step up. I said, we need to step up. Men, you have gifts of the Spirit in operation in your life. Focus on your God. God, use me. And He will. You prophesy in the measure of faith you have. That means you get your faith up. God will speak through you. Do it. Ladies, would you really like it if your man would love God with all his heart, soul, strength, and mind? Would that bother you? How many knows that the more he loves God, the more he'll be able to love you like you should be loved? That's good preaching. Amen. And ladies, how many knows you need to be single-minded when it comes to this? You ladies are multitask-oriented. You can think this, 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 and this. Sometimes you've got to bring all that down. No, this is God time. Oh, I'm preaching now. Come on. Say amen. You got this going on, you got this going on, you got this going on, and you got it all shit. It's like the balls are in the air. You got them all working. But this is God's time. I want to focus on Him, Him alone. Use that love. Use that natural instinct God's given inside you to love your God. And then let's start talking about people. A lot less problems would be in our land if we love people as ourselves. When we have a right understanding of who we are, we can start loving people like we should. Biggest move of God ever. Jesus said that they'll know you're my disciples by your love. And let's do some inventory, some inspection there. I still have some areas to go. Anybody here? I still, when somebody cuts me off, I'm still like, praise the Lord. Oh, you're all perfect in here. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Whatever your struggle is, I know somebody has one in here. Then, Lord, let's work on that. Amen? I just had that the other day. I was waiting with my turn signal on in the parking lot. On the next car to pull in there, it was me. It was me. It was me. You can't miss it. It's me. It's me. It's me. And the person cuts right in there, and I'm like, I did. I go, Lord, amen. And there was no other parking spots. One didn't know, all of a sudden appear, the greatest one ever. A light shined down upon it. No, I had to park way out there. I'm like, praise the Lord. When I got into the store, the person is right in front of me. Show your Jesus now. Here, I'll hold the door for you. Say amen. Let's make it real. Come on, we all have stuff we have to deal with. And the Lord spoke to me. Was that so hard? No. Then this. Don't get worked up on a parking spot. Sometimes we get worked up on so little things. True? You enjoy this morning? How many will spend that intimate time with God? Scripture said we shouldn't worship with the wrong attitude. Lord, teach me. I'm going to go that way. Amen? Amen. I want to ask you as we close here, how many need to have a little more alone devotion time with God? Let me see your hand. Okay. How many have a whole lot of things going on and you got them all juggling, they're all working, but sometimes it'd be nice to let all that drop and, Lord, just with you. Okay? Amen. Secondly, or thirdly here is, how many have been a little bit cold in this arena? And you just feel the Lord just stoking that up. Say, come on. We've had greater intimacy. Come on, let's do it. I'm with you too. And last here, church, let's set the tempo for the churches. Not only this one, but around this world, that we're going to love our God. Can we do that? And people will see. It won't be fake. It'll be genuine. Look how they love their God. Hallelujah. Lift your hands. I want to pray for you. Father, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, meet every need in each home. Lord, I come against any sickness, any plague come near their dwelling. Lord, not one sick among us in the name of Jesus. Divine healing and strength to be their portion. And Lord, most of all, we want to be intimate with you, to know you. Teach us. Holy Spirit, work within us. That what's acceptable to you is our all and our best. So God, we're going that way in Jesus' name. Amen.